Public Works, Capital Projects and Transportation Committee to order for May 6th, 2024 at 6 p.m. I'd like to welcome everyone who's here, present with us in the room, and also those present with us remotely. And we begin with the roll call.
Thank you. Chair Nolan?
Here.
Deputy Chair Litz?
Here.
Legislator Donaldson?
Here.
Legislator Kovacs?
Here.
Legislator McCullough?
Here.
You have quorum.
Thank you very much. Could we address the minutes of the meeting of April 8th?
Motion approved.
Motion by Legislator Kovacs, seconded by Legislator McCullough. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Approved unanimously. Thank you. Let's begin with resolutions. We have resolution number 211, amending capital project number 677, Golden Hill Transportation Improvements, amending the 2024 capital fund budget, Department of Planning. Don't see someone from planning here.
I'll move it.
You move it?
For adoption.
For adoption, thank you. Seconded by Legislator McCullough. This is a project we talked about at previous meetings, and this is a $22,000 increase in the budget for that project. Any questions or concerns? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Approved unanimously. We have two resolutions, and maybe we can talk about them both once we get the first one moved.
I'll move it.
Legislator Litz for resolution number 228, setting a public hearing on naming a county-owned asset to be held on Tuesday, June 18th, 2024 at 7:15 p.m. Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator McCullough. Would you like to describe a little bit about this, please?
Absolutely. So, 228.
Maybe introduce yourself.
229. Absolutely. So, for those of you who don't know, Mark Cozzopoli, I'm Director of Veteran Services. I've been in that position for 4 years now. Anybody ever want to come take a visit, let us know. Love to show you around and show you all the different things we do for the county. These two resolutions are very similar. It's to dedicate road to certain roads. Or groupings of veterans or families. So the first one is to dedicate part of Lucas Avenue for Vietnam War veterans. What that would mean is we're not renaming the road. It's not changing anything other than we'll just be putting a sign on, you know, either direction stating that this is the Ulster County, you know, Vietnam War Veterans Memorial Highway. And then the second one, I believe, shorter they were.
You've got them right.
Okay, the Gold Star families, and that would be Hurley Mountain Road, and it would be the same thing. Both towns have already had hearings and adopted and sent forward resolutions supporting it. Really, that's all we required as the county is to get buy-in from the towns. They, like I said, are fully behind it. Both groups are extremely deserving. You know, when you talk about Vietnam War veterans, they deserve their due as much as possible. And Gold Star families is the designation that, you know, nobody ever wants to be called. You know, for those who don't know what that means, it's a immediate family of someone who was killed in action while in service in the military.
Thank you. That's exactly the background that we need on these. This is the resolution is to set the public hearing for this because it does require a public hearing. Any questions from the committee on this? Then I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Approved unanimously. And resolution number 229, setting a public hearing on naming a county-owned asset to be held on Tuesday, June 18th, 2024 at 7:20 p.m. This is the Ulster County Gold Star Family Memorial Highway. It would be on County Route 5 in Hurley.
I'll move it for adoption.
Moved and seconded. Seconded by Legislator Donaldson. And the same description applies. Any questions or concerns? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Adopted unanimously. Thank you very much, Director Carl. I asked you to say it the first time. That was smarter. Cosopoli, got it. Resolution number 241, reestablishing the Ulster and Delaware Corridor Advisory Committee. Motion is to adopt or discuss, to adopt by Legislator Kovacs. Legislator Donaldson seconds. This is a resolution that reestablishes the Ulster and Delaware Corridor Advisory Committee. That committee was first convened in 2015 to look at the entire Ulster and Delaware Corridor that is under county ownership and management from Kingston to High Mount, the Delaware County line. That committee recommended and the legislature eventually adopted a policy to segment the corridor into sections for rail use, sections for a section for trail use, and potentially other sections for rail and trail use, and one section that was about a little over 2 miles long was left undesignated because it was felt to be complicated and it wasn't clear what the designation should be. And the committee recommended and the resolution had said that further evaluation would be undertaken at a future point. We now are at that future point, and this resolution would establish a committee to be appointed by the chair with recommendations from both parties to look at the existing policy and especially that undesignated section and see what information is needed in order to advance decision-making, policy-making in regard to that section and presumably any other portion of the corridor. Any questions or concerns?
How does this committee work with or duplicate the work of the Trails Advisory Committee?
Ah, very good question. Thank you. So the Ulster County Trails Advisory Committee was, we had a resolution last month to reestablish that group. That group was started in 2009 following the recommendations of a couple of committees looking at trails all around Ulster County and what could be done with that. Then legislator Robert Parity was a big moving force behind those studies and the then this committee coming out of it. And that committee is reestablished yearly. It's been in continuous function and it has membership from trail communities across the county. It also has elected officials on it, including three legislators and two town or local representatives. It is attended or used to be attended by DOT and DEP. They haven't been around as much because there weren't any active issues for them. But the committee makes recommendations. A few years ago published a State of the Trails report that brought up brought Ulster County's advances in trails out in a kind of formatted, published booklet. And it basically has served as a forum for communicating best practices, discussing problems that come up. At one point, there were some concerns about some vandalism on the ONW rail trail. So it's ongoing maintenance issues and promotion of all of Ulster County trails. This committee was established in 2015 to look at policy for the UND corridor, which among all those trails is one of the few that Ulster County owns. We also own part of the trail in Kingston, which technically is part of the UND, but is we usually think of the UND as west of Kingston and call it the Kingston Rail Trail or Kingston Linear Park when it's in Kingston. So this is particularly designed to deal with a policy. There was a track committee, which was a Trails Rails Advisory Committee, and the names are all similar, which is confusing. But the track committee was formed partly because there had been a railroad advisory board for many years, and that was disbanded. and the CMRR as the Casco Mountain Railroad as a vendor from Ulster County asked to have a committee that they could report to. So they did report to that committee for some time, but they're very unusual in being a vendor that had a separate committee set up for them, because we have other vendors and those vendors work through this committee primarily. So at this point, the CMRR is also reporting to Public Works and Planning and working through this committee. If this committee is formed, this UND Corridor Advisory Committee, I would recommend that it begin by looking at the history of the corridor going back to when the county acquired it and coming up to 2015. And then the work of the committee would be to pick up where that policy left off in 2015, look how the policy has been working since 2015, almost 10 years, and then see what needs to be done as next steps. And there are several members of the community here, I think, in support of this resolution. But if the committee has any further questions, we can go to that. Otherwise, I think we could call the question. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution 242, amending capital project number 679, Hurley Mountain Bridge Replacement, Town of Marbletown, for engineering services, amending the 2024 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works, Highways, and Bridges. Is there a motion? Moved by Legislator McCullough, seconded by Legislator Litz. Would someone from DPW like to say anything about this?
Sure, thank you. This resolution amends a capital project for the Hurley Mountain Bridge to add design, additional design, and CI construction inspection services. This was established back in late 2023. It's a federally funded, federal aid project. So this is now to authorize the design phase.
Did you put out an RFP for this?
It came off of our qualified list. We have DPW has a qualified list.
Yeah. Did my company respond?
You are the awarded vendor.
Oh, then I have to remove.
Yes.
I abstain.
So I need another second on this, seconded by Legislator Kovacs. Thank you, Legislator Litz.
That's fine. Thanks for letting me know. Didn't really do anything out of.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. Sorry. Any other questions or concerns? I think if there's no knowledge, then there's no fault, at least at this stage.
I don't even want to address that. I mean, I purposely stay away from anything to do with the county, so yeah. I didn't even know my company
had been. Responded
to it, so.
And I will ask for abstentions at the appropriate point.
Oh, you need a second.
We have a second from Legislator Kovacs.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions or concerns about the project? It's 80% funded by the federal government, so quite good for the county. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? One abstention, Legislator Litz. The resolution passes with one abstention. Resolution 244, amending the 2024 to 2029 capital improvement program, amending capital project number 680, Scudderbrook Bridge replacement in the town of Hardinburg, amending the 2024 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works, Highways and Bridges. Is there a motion?
We didn't put it for this, did we?
Legislator
you may
McCullough.
Have, but it's not going to work.
But I'm going to abstain.
Anybody would like to second?
Also.
Seconded by Legislator Donaldson. This is the Scudderbrook Bridge. This is 8% funded by Ulster County, and the rest by the federal government. And we already did yours, Dennis. Sorry. I didn't. Thank you. Federal and state money for most of this bridge. This was awarded to Barton and Legutis as the engineering firm. Any questions? Yes?
It is presumptive property.
No, this is a county-owned bridge.
County-owned bridge, yeah.
Okay. I had a consultation with someone in my office regarding they got a proposal for the bridge repair up there in Hartford.
Okay. So I'm not sure, but we might be taking right-of-ways to get to this bridge, yeah, but that's a little...
Right-of-ways would just be the
yeah.
It's not the entire bridge.
No.
It's
not
a, right. Okay.
But thank you for that question. I think it's really important that we look at that. But this bridge connects two sections of road with multiple residences on both sides.
Yes.
So if there were any private ownership interest, we would need to address that because it's a public thoroughfare. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any
aye.
Aye. Oh, you're going
to
vote.
I don't have to abstain.
Good. Any opposed? Any abstentions? This passes unanimously. Resolution number 246, approving the execution of a contract for $295,806 entered into by the County, Barton and Legutis, DPC, Department of Public Works.
I'll move for that.
Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator McCullough. Any other questions? It's the same bridge project.
So this is the company that's going to be doing the design work for the Scotty Brook Bridge.
Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Passes unanimously. Resolution number 247, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $421,757.33 entered into by the County Butler Construction Group, Inc., Department of Public Works. There is a typo, just tiny typo, in the amended term. There's a hyphen missing, so it says something like 12/31/2024.
Yes.
So just want to mention that before we forget it.
It's not less a 1,000-year contract.
Right. Is there a motion on this resolution? This is the construction contract for the Stutter Book?
No.
Construction for?
This is a
This is. Right.
Job order contracting services.
Job order, right. So. Did we get this moved? Because I have questions about this. Moved by Legislator McCullough, seconded by Legislator Kovacs. Would the department like to talk about this one? And I think extend to the next two resolutions, which are similar.
So yes, the three, 247, 248, 249, are all job order contracting amendments. So it's part of a capital project, for facility improvement capital project, and these three vendors were awarded the JOC contracting through a bid process, and then we used the space study for facility improvements, what was needed and what was in demand for the first few years. So we had these companies come out and give us proposals for the fixes of certain facilities, and here we are with three resolutions to amend the capital.
Are there questions from the committee? I can start us off, but you may have already answered my question. The amounts of these contracts went up by sizable proportions. Mm-hmm. The first one five times, the second one almost three times, and the third one six times more than the original. But that's because you've now identified the projects and you're building in those projects.
Correct.
Okay. That is good.
Is there something? Sure. So last month you folks approved three capital projects that were all related to the space study. Mm-hmm. So we hired a company that came out and did some space, for the space study, they went out and did some condition facilities assessments. They tabulated those assessments, they gave it back to us, and then we're going through now and doing the actual work, correcting, doing corrective work. A lot of it is maintenance, delayed maintenance work. Some of this stuff is actually has to do with the new 368, the building at 368 Broadway.
Mm.
We're replacing 113 windows, 116, I'm sorry, 116 windows in that building. It's a four-story building on Broadway. That's the new mental health hub.
And are those windows all now?
They're going to be to meet the stretch code.
So the stretch code for all of us is, I mean, you don't have to define the acronym, but what's it intended to do?
It's for, they have, energy efficiency.
It's the latest code.
That's what I was hoping that you were going to say.
Kingston has a higher code than, actually, I think, than New York State.
And so we're meeting City of Kingston's code as well. So this would make the building better insulated and therefore reduce the county's cost for heating the building.
And that's the bulk of Resolution 247 for Butler. That $421,000 is mostly the windows for that building. And then there's some work on Resolution 249 for Jory Excavating. They're doing some sidewalk work around.
Any other discussion? Yes, Legislator McCullough.
If my memory serves me right, I believe last month a question came up when it might have been me that said how much, and he said we don't know yet because something had to happen. So this is
done. And that's actually why normally you get when we establish a capital, you normally approve the contract the same night.
That's
what we're waiting for. We're waiting for the final numbers from the job or the contracting services.
Thank you.
Great. So on Resolution 247, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 248, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $92,470.84 entered into by the County Hudson Valley Electrical Construction Management, Inc., Department of Public Works. And this is the same set of proposed projects, county-run projects.
Yes. This is has a couple of different buildings included. Development Court, I think we're replacing 14 panel boxes, electrical panel boxes, replacing some transformers up on Golden Hill, and some other type of electrical work. So to answer your one question about the number of amendments,
mm-hmm.
whenever we have a job, mm-hmm. we have to amend the contract for that particular job. So that's why you see Amendment 1, Amendment 2, Amendment mm-hmm. 3. So each time we have a job or a contract, we have to amend the contract.
Okay.
And presumably puts it over the threshold, the dollar mm-hmm. threshold, so it has to come back to you folks for approval.
That makes sense. Thank you. Other questions or discussion? All in favor, Resolution number 248? Oh, it hasn't been moved? Oh, I'm sorry. Is there a motion to adopt? Legislator McCullough and Legislator Donaldson. I guess I got 247 and 248 confused. Conflated. All right. So moved by Legislator McCullough, seconded by Legislator Donaldson. All in favor of Resolution number 248?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 249, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $217,811.75 entered into by the county with Jory Excavating, Inc., Department of Public Works. And this would be related to sidewalks at 368 Broadway and other
multiple, there's multiple buildings. Replacing the staircase at KCSU. There's curving work that's done at Shamrock. ADA ramps at DSS.
Mental health
ADA ramps as well. I think that's it.
Almost.
multiple buildings.
Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator McCullough. Any other questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Passed unanimously. Resolution number 250, approving the execution of a contract amendment for rates anticipated to exceed $50,000 entered into by the county. Allenmore, Inc., doing business as Pestmaster Services, Department of Public Works. This is a contract with this company to remove the carcasses of deer and other large animals from county roads. Is there a motion? Moved by Legislator Kovacs, seconded by Legislator Litz. So this is a one-year contract extension. I have a question, which is, I believe that Mark Ryder said that deer carcasses are coming to the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency for composting. Is that this company taking them there? Do we know?
Not 100% sure, but I know they have to take them to a registered composting facility.
Okay. Well, maybe if you could check and just see, it, you know, be nice. I mean, it's fine either way. If we're getting them from somebody else, like the town highway departments plus
right.
this, that's good. It's better that they go into the compost and serve that purpose than decay at the side of the road. So either way, I'm happy at least. But I guess I would like to know if they're charged to do that, to bring them to that our facility. Any other questions or considerations? All in favor of resolution number 250?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Passes unanimously. Resolution number 251, authorizing the sale of real property located at 701 Grant Avenue, Lake Katrine in the town of Ulster, Ulster County, New York, tax parcel number, ID number 39.82-1-30.420, to Sarah Fry, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute all documents required for said acquisition, Department of Public Works, Buildings and Grounds.
So
moved by Legislator Litz with enthusiasm, seconded by Legislator Donaldson with enthusiasm. Is there any enthusiastic discussion? I think this is great. This also includes the seeker determination, this being a type 2 action, and the building is selling for $4 million, which is approximately the estimated, the appraised value of the property. And there are commissions to both the selling and the purchasing agents that seem reasonable. Any concerns, questions? Then I will call the vote. All those in favor of resolution number 251?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? That takes us through the resolutions. We do have a fair amount of old business. Is there any new business that people would like to bring?
We talked about it last week. It's the old business, but Ulster Lenny Road in the town of Ulster.
Oh, yes.
Just to have an update. I know it's a large project, but and yet you have to be appreciated.
Yeah, somehow I thought this was on here, but I think I conflated it with Pancake Hollow Road,
right.
Legislator Litz's concern, so Ulster Landing Road. You want to start with that
one? I just know that the architects are still working on what needs to get done. You know it's a concern. We'll keep up to date. Thank you. Yep.
Okay. I don't think there's any new business. I have a couple of questions into DPW about roads and just general concerns from my district, but nothing that's formed into a project or something that we need to address yet. So I think there are still people from the public who are interested in addressing the old business. You have something for new business?
Just a very brief comment that you mentioned the State of the Trails report that we did in 2021, Trails Advisory Committee. We're, I think, pretty close to wrapping up the update for this year.
Great,
yeah.
Great.
It has a lot of really good new information
The Ulster County Trails Advisory Committee does that report in some version each year for the committee's origin, which I think currently is just this committee, or are you also
it is just
this committee, but in 2021 did it in a publishable and published fashion. We'll look forward to that. 2023 version, would it be?
Yes, basically. Yeah, yeah. It's released in 2024. Yeah.
Thank you. We have several items that we've been following in regard to the Catskill Mountain Railroad. We have Deputy Executive Amanda Laval here, who may be able to help us with all of these. Do you want to give us updates?
For the first item, activity beyond the scope of the permit property. Just to recap for the committee, in March, the county became aware that there were activities being undertaken by CMRR on a portion of the UND rail corridor beyond the permitted area. There are some pretty strict kind of guidelines about that type of activity that are in the current permit that allows them to operate on the corridor. And as such, a letter was sent in March to CMRR, apprising them of to stop their activity on that portion of the corridor. Although we haven't received a response in writing, to my knowledge, at a meeting with the executive's office staff on the 19th of April, CMRR did acknowledge receiving that letter and did acknowledge that they would not be continuing any type of work or activity on that unpermitted section of the corridor. And by work or activity, I should just specify that we had seen tree clearing along the entire section. It's about, I'm gonna guess right now, it's about a mile and a half.
Mile and two-thirds.
Two-thirds, okay. Close, but not quite. So along that section of corridor, we had seen tree clearing as well as installation of some post brackets for mile markers. And more extensive clearing on a piece of property that is actually in the town of Woodstock, where the type of the county owns an easement rather than owning the parcel and fee where the rail corridor still exists over that. So that's the update on that item. Are there any questions
about that? That's helpful. Thank
okay.
you.
Air quality monitoring, as per the permit that this committee granted to Catskill Mountain Railroad to operate on the rail corridor, there were some additional kind of newer language in this current permit around monitoring of air quality in the cabin. I think at the last committee meeting, I had shared the make and model of the air quality monitor that the railroad had informed the county and DPW that they had installed. Again, to my knowledge, to this date, we haven't received any data from the air quality monitoring. And again, from the last time I spoke with staff from the railroad in mid-April, they were, you know, kind of looking at how to download that and get that data to the county. But just,
I had one question about that. The photographs that were helpful to see that they were mounted and what looks like it would be useful. I mean, all of them looked a little bit high, but I don't know whether there's expected any difference between ceiling level and floor level. But I also couldn't tell if they all the monitors were in the same car, or if there were one monitor in each car or some combination. So
they're in separate cars. That was the, I think, and I'd have to go back and check, but I believe that was in one of the email exchanges where they noted which cars they were in.
Okay. If you could confirm that for us, that would be great. There was a presentation at the Adirondack Park. Park Day in Albany today by students at one of the SUNYs, maybe ESF, that are doing air quality monitoring with on-site devices in the Adirondack Park in quite a bit of detail. So they don't have data yet, but when they do, we can take a look. It's not completely analogous, but they started that project in response to the wildfires in Canada and the visible perception that the air quality had changed, and they were looking for more than just particulate matter. They were looking for other environmental contaminants. I thought it would be of interest. We did have advisories in Ulster County during the worst of that smoke coming from Canada, and the CMRR continued to run at that time, which I think is something that the county should look at if the air quality indicators were such that people shouldn't be doing outside activity. Does the county want to have a way to influence whether or not recreational activity wasn't exertional activity, but there were questions were raised about whether it should have been continued. So I think the more data we have about what the air quality, what the contaminants were, and whether they would harm somebody just from being in them, or whether it was exertional activity that would be problematic.
If I may add, you know, the county is looking at, there's the technology has gotten more affordable, more deployable as far as these ambient, like outdoor air quality monitors, and we are looking at other places where we can do that. There's actually an effort through emergency management, again, thinking about how do we better prepare ourselves for air quality events like the wildfires, and making sure that we have good coverage through all our municipalities. We're looking at getting those types of monitors out into communities. We're also looking, because right now we are working with the City of Kingston to mount the security cameras along the Midtown Linear Park to co-locate air quality monitors along with those. It has the Wi-Fi and the internet as well as power. And that, again, gives us more data about communities that may be at risk to the air quality events. And it also, especially in something that is an outdoor recreational asset of the counties, allows us the data to be able to advise people on what may be safe or unhealthy activity during various kinds of air quality events.
Any other questions on that?
Yes. We were notified that they switched to 100% biodiesel.
Yes. Okay.
As well.
So, do we know where they're sourcing their biodiesel?
That.
But 100%. Great. That's a step forward. And a waiver for herbicide application.
On this item, just for context for the committees or for others listening, the county, since I believe 2009, has a has law on the books that bans the use of herbicides or pesticides on county-owned or county-leased property. So, for example, our buildings maintenance staff can't use herbicides, Roundup on the sidewalk for weed control, nor can our highway department use any kind of herbicide for maintenance of roadsides, even around things like guide rails or other signs or equipment. There is provision in the law for a waiver that can be granted by an advisory committee, which includes staff from various departments, as well as Soil and Water Conservation District, Cornell Cooperative Extension, and the County Environmental Management Council. The railroad has applied for pretty consistently, I would say not every year, but almost every year, a waiver from that law in order to be allowed to apply pesticide, herbicide on the corridor. And that has always, this year, the NPM committee citing some problems with the CMRR's kind of spraying versus the what the permit conditions were, basically following the permit conditions, made the decision to deny the waiver for this year. CMRR wrote a letter in response asking the committee to reconsider that decision. The committee met last week, I think, to review that, and from what I was told, decided not to revisit that decision on the waiver. As far as next steps, I think the committee is going to communicate back with CMRR, but again, the law was so it might be for more discussion with the appropriate committees, but I think it is something where perhaps the intent of the law needs to be examined against the stated need from the business for maintaining the rail corridor to a state which can be inspected by DOT. And kind of what they're saying is necessary in order to do that. Over the years, the railroad had been, at least the time when I was involved sitting on the committee, had been pretty adamant that if they were able to spray for a few years and get more deeply rooted vegetation under control, that they would be able to use mechanical means going forward. And I think the committee is questioning kind of whether or not that's the case or whether it will be continue to be a series of waivers. So this will likely be something that might be taken up more with probably Energy and Environment, since I believe that's the committee where the law originally kind of came from. So.
Yeah, I'd like to talk with Chris Hewitt, the chair of Energy and Environment, and see what Chris would like to do. I did introduce a resolution last year that would have applied to this. I was calling it the policy on policies, but it was in part to address the situation in which we have a policy, and the Department of Environment was waiving it year after year, and really without even coming back to the legislature. And my feeling was that when the legislature set policies and allowed a waiver, that maybe we needed to be involved in the exercise of those waivers, especially if they were more than once. I ended up having to pull it because it turned out that we had over 200 policies, and it wasn't clear how this, what I was writing as a resolution, would address all of them. But maybe we could go back and look at this specific one. I will say that because of the large part of this corridor being in my district, I have looked at what the Department of Environment has sent to the CMRR in past years, and they have in every year had non-compliance with the terms of the permit. The permit says you spray within a certain area, and there are farms nearby, there are wetlands nearby, there are surface waters and groundwater, wells of residences nearby, and the permit conditions would have kept the herbicide in the flat areas of the corridor. By not remaining, retaining and monitoring the company that came out to do the spraying, we had many years, in every year that I have seen, that they had difficulties. And
if I could just clarify, the committee is chaired by the director of the Department of Environment for the local law, but it is made up of these other departments and agencies. And there have been numerous kind of alternatives discussed with CMRR, for example, regarding areas that might be close to organic production agriculture, whether or not they could look at wicking or different methods of application. There's really been a very wide-ranging conversation with them regarding other methods of application or other types of management that would better address some of the concerns about the various adjacent land uses. But those have not, the application continues to be for spraying with the same method.
If there are alternatives that include the mechanical, just literally pulling, but also burning. The Amtrak or Metro North, one of those, uses a laser, I think, that comes along, which of course would be very expensive for a rail ride to employ, but there are some alternatives. And some of them, like mechanical pulling, would mean that there might be employment for, you know, local people to do, but expense for the CMRR.
Yeah, other methods even, like I think DOT uses, like a heated, like, soap solution. Like, so there tend to be a variety of different kind of uses that they could.
Does any other vendor ask for this waiver?
This year, for the first time, there was also an application for a waiver for 0.2 miles of the UND corridor up in High Mount.
Where Delaware and Ulster is coming up?
The Delaware and Ulster then becomes the Ulster and Delaware coming over the hill. So.
And what was the resolution of that by the committee?
Again, this year, I think the committee was, they received a lot of information. However, because of these, I believe they denied that application as well. Again, speaking to some of these larger issues regarding this law on the books and now having a specific type of use of the corridor, which is coming back again and again for waivers.
You were on the MPEM committee for some time. Is it your sense that if this were a one-time waiver, it would be quite different than year after year, or does that make any difference?
I believe when I read the law, again, it's the intent that there should be a plan, that the herbicide application or pesticide, whatever the case is not meant to be the management strategy. And I think that that's part of the discussion that they're having right now, is whether or not this seems to be the management strategy, or is this something that we do for several years until we have the vegetation under control and can use other methods that are in line with the goals and the intent of the law.
So it would be my thought that there are these two components of this particular policy and the waiver provision, which is part of it's for the ecology, and so energy and environment would, I think, properly address that. But also this is for all of Ulster County's grounds that we own or lease, and so I think it should also be looked at by this committee. If the committee is agreeable, I would reach out to the chair of Energy and Environment, and we could just keep it on this part of our agenda and ask that they also look at it. I'd be open to other ideas or, you know, if anybody has thoughts on this. But the policy makes sense. Ulster County is a leader on the environment and on, you know, restricting uses. We don't use, we have a special policy about even the cleaning products in our buildings. And so I like this policy. Having a waiver also makes sense, but it seems like we now have close to 15 years of experience with the waiver, and it hasn't necessarily worked the way that it might have been envisioned in terms of getting these plans to keep people from using herbicides or pesticides year after year and help them come into compliance with the overall policy. Okay, hearing no objection, we'll head in that direction. We have Director Rozier, Tony Rozier from UCAT with us, so maybe we could address the naloxone on UCAT buses and county vehicles.
We don't operate the county vehicles, so any of the UCAT buses or our fleet will have them on. tomorrow we're doing the training for all of the bus drivers. I have to say that a couple have refused the training, which it's not mandatory. We scheduled everybody between the hours of 12 and 4 tomorrow. They'll all be trained. We did some printouts and gave them some information on exactly what happens when this is administered and what it's all about. So that is all taken care of. It should be completed by tomorrow.
That sounds great. And this Legislator McCullough.
One question. How soon after the training would it be available on the buses?
Immediately. They're bringing 5 cases of 60 tomorrow, so we'll have 300.
I really appreciate UCAT moving on this so such a responsive way. And I would say that even though every staff person has not accepted the training, if the Narcan is on the bus, many residents of Ulster County know how to use Narcan if it's on the bus, and they can use it if the driver isn't trained.
This is our second round of training, so a lot of the new drivers will now be trained, but in the past we had a training with Pat Carroll and is it Oracle?
Yep. Yeah.
They came and did it for us in 2021 or 2022.
Oh, that's great.
So we have been equipped with them on the bus.
The Narcan's been on the buses since then?
And yeah, they left them for even the employees to take home if they wanted to have them in their vehicles.
That's great. And I think this is our legislative assistant has put the county vehicles on here for us. Is there a thought that maybe we should extend this to other vehicles?
That was the first time. I was trying to remember if it had been discussed in committee regarding county vehicles. But
I think we were just talking about UCAT. We had mentioned it.
Okay. It certainly can happen. I will speak with the fleet manager and maybe prioritize which ones we might deploy in, and then we can work on that. So yeah, we do have a lot of vehicles, 400 or so, that includes the UCAT fleet, but there might be ones, we'll take a look at it and see what there might be the right way to do it.
There'd be two elements of it. One would be, can a couple of doses of Narcan sit in the glove compartment, and then can we offer training and encourage the drivers of any county vehicles to take the training? But started with a good thing, let's amp it up.
There is a great 30-second training video online. We actually downloaded it and should have in one of our handouts that if they're interested, they can also look at it at home.
That's great. We should all look at it. All right. Is there anything else for UCAT that you wanted to bring up? No?
Big update on the bus shelters.
Yes.
We sent
out
a survey to all municipalities asking if they, number one, are interested, and if they are interested, we needed to know if they would be willing to maintain them.
And when did that go out?
That went out a few months ago, March. And we have not received one response back.
Uh-oh.
Not one.
Do you want to send that again, send it to each of the legislators, and
sure,
we can maybe, go to the supervisors and or mayors or whatever we have and try to encourage that response? There are some legislators that have been pushing on this, so.
And we have received calls from actually the new Veterans Center in Poverty's, and they were requesting a shelter on 9W, but we just directed them to contact their local authorities.
Did you also send it to the Association of Towns for Ulster County?
It went out to every municipality. I'm not sure if it went out to them, but I can certainly.
They meet at least once a month, so if you can get it on their agenda, at least it'll be discussed rather than it going to the circular file in each town.
And it's an online survey. They can fill it out online, and it's directed back to us.
Yeah, I'd like to try to help you on that, because I think it is one of those things that can fall between the cracks. And so if we can pick it up and try to get the information to you, it sounds like you've done your part, but now we have to have the response.
We started the nature bus.
How did that go? Somebody asked me today.
On Saturday, we did the river route, and it actually has 14 passengers this time. So
great.
It's picking up.
That's a great amenity for the county. Hope you'll continue to update us on that. So I'm going to skip Pancake Hollow for a minute and come back to that. The Agriculture Society has not contacted me, although they do seem to have an open request, so I should reach out to them. I haven't yet. And
they met with the county executive last month?
Chair
of the legislature, and I did sit in on the meeting from the executive's office.
And that was a couple of weeks ago, maybe?
Yeah.
Hey, take care.
Okay.
Yeah, so I guess there is something going on.
Start the discussion.
Is there anything that you can say from that, or is it still just in progress?
We had requested that, upon review of the current agreement, there's a series of reports that are due on there's a meeting that is due to be an annual meeting to discuss what's going on at the fairgrounds and if there are any concerns. And then there's also a series of reports that are due from the Ag Society. And we decided that it would be a good starting point to have some of that information that is, specified to be in those reports, and that we would regroup with them. And I think we said 3 weeks. So that's the process right now.
Do you need us to keep it on our agenda, or?
I think that's a good idea. It may not be every month, but just as we move forward through that process. And I believe I haven't looked at the contract since the meeting, but those are reports that should be, made available to this committee as far as kind of activity and et cetera on the fairgrounds.
Great. So there were two areas of concern, and one in relationship to Pancake Hollow Road and Union Turnpike, and one in relationship to Ulster County Landing Road. We heard that Ulster County Landing Road, I think this was before the meeting though, has gone to, there's architects looking at it. Can you update us on both of those?
Yeah, this one is Pancake Hollow Road, and the other one's Union Center Road.
Yeah. Okay.
So all concerns have been addressed. They did, DPW did some re-ditching, and they cleaned out the drainage pipes.
And it's now draining.
So you corrected the DI by Mrs. Zanella, and that's all working?
It should be working.
But I drove Union Center Road on last Monday. There's no backup material been placed at the edge of pavement.
Okay.
And really, that's a disaster waiting to happen. In some places, the drop-off is in excess of 12 inches. Eight inches. You get a tire off of that, you're going to get sucked off the road.
And Ulster Landing Road is in process of having architects look at what's needed?
The engineer is still working on it.
You don't want an architect out there.
Yeah.
An engineer. Okay. I didn't know. I thought it might be landscaping.
No, architects typically vertical construction.
Nobody ever explained that to me before. That sounds like a kind of engineer's description. Great. Well, I think that hits all of the items that we had listed for old business. Is there anything else from the committee?
On the bottom of mine, it says update on pilot study.
Oh, compost
toilets.
Yes. That would be Executive Director, Deputy Executive Director Laval.
There was a quote that had been
a company that had been identified by Legislator Stewart, I believe, and there was some quote for this feasibility study. And after trying to work with that company to move forward, it was a relatively low dollar value, which we didn't have to go through additional procurement. However, the company, upon seeing the boilerplate contract that Ulster County works off of for all of our contracts, has decided that it doesn't really meet with their, A, the low dollar value, and also their kind of it's too much risk for a smaller nonprofit business. So we're just received that news, so we're in the stage of reevaluating and looking at our options.
It's the standard template. Are there any situations in which we use a simpler, more user-friendly contract? No. So because it's a county, it has to have certain boilerplates, and if they're intimidating, then that's just the nature of the contract.
This is
purpose.
Certainly a
need. That's the purpose.
On purpose,
you know, and but it's somewhat also of a niche scope of work, and feasibility on composting toilet at various trailheads or facilities. So,
is it possible that we should put out some kind of RFP or RFQ, just because there might be some planning firm that doesn't necessarily do the composting but could look at the needs? Or do you?
You know, and frankly, because this was low dollar value and it already had a vendor had already been identified, that was frankly when we look at our workload, how we were going to be able to sneak it in. By then going through any kind of more robust scoping or procurement process, anything like that, it really changes the amount of hours and kind of the time from staff on that. And we'd have to look at that as well. So,
I mean, would you have to have a vendor? Couldn't you just purchase the composting toilets and?
Well, this gets back to some of our exciting discussion on this topic from last year in this committee, was that there have been, we've heard some things like, for example, from City of Kingston that was having a lot of problems with composting toilets at the parks, where they were looking to switch them out, do something different. Mm-hmm. They were basically not composting and they were acting as very difficult to maintain, like portalettes.
Really?
Yeah, so, yeah, and other folks that I've talked to who, you know, run campgrounds for nonprofits who said, just don't do it. You know,
really?
So I think that was the point of having a vendor to look at kind of the different technology and what might be suitable where. But again, all these things that we have to kind of weigh and balance as far as taking this on.
My friend has a cottage and he has one in the cottage.
Yeah.
I mean, you just have to buy the bugs,
right.
Put the bugs in the bottom, and every 3 or 4 months,
I will
the bugs and put new bugs in. It really was very low intensive.
I think it has to do with the balancing the use and then the depending on the environmental conditions, like how cold it is, you know, that definitely impacts the rate at which the microbes are processing.
So he's in Maine.
Yeah, but if he's not going to his cottage in the winter months when it's colder, you know, that's, I think, some of the problems is once the weather is too cold to really have kind of robust microbe activity, then they run into some problems.
And this is for public use, which is quite a different matter, perhaps, than residential use.
I wonder if you couldn't, like, retrofit a porta potty by just dumping the bugs down there.
Instead of the stuff that kills all the bugs?
Yeah. Well, what I think is that we should go back to Legislator Stewart. He did contact me, and he couldn't be here tonight, but Legislator Eric Stewart was the legislator who has been pushing this, And I think we ought to look to see maybe there is another nonprofit that has, you know, other experience and there's another way forward on this.
One idea that we were going to see if we could have a discussion with contract management to discuss, as, you know, doing it since it's low dollar value, potentially doing it as a PO, as a feasibility study. There are some constraints there. This update was new to me as of yesterday from Environment, so I haven't had a chance to talk to Legislator Stewart about it. We'd have to, again, look at that.
Okay.
Buy a truckload of yeast. It works. I'm
telling you. Well, I know of one, not a nonprofit, but a religious group that uses composting toilets, and they do use them through the winter, but they have a heated building. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of work involved in turning and getting the right amounts of mixtures and so forth. So I thought it was good to do a feasibility study in terms of for public use at fairly high volume sites like trailheads. And so I'm disappointed that we have this situation. And I think we should keep trying to see if we can find a way to look into it. It does seem like it would be a good solution because we don't have piping and all of that at these locations. But maybe it would make more sense to just put in a small septic field. I mean, a county could put in some places has sufficient land near trailheads.
So thinking about, again, where our recreational facilities are and which ones get used a lot. For example, the Shokan trailhead for the art for the Shokan Rail Trail, it's a couple years out, but they're going to be, creating a sewage treatment plant for that hamlet. And that was actually part of the design of the parking lot would be that it would be ready to connect to water and sewer when that comes down the road. Similarly, and I don't know if it's an issue with the Boyceville
trailhead
because it's across the road. I don't know how far up, if they're going to be sewering, if there's up a Colebrook Road back there, if there's water and if there's sewer line. But again, looking at that, so especially with DEP, because there's having the portalettes that they have to maintain the contract for and to have the vendor service them, and especially in city procurement, they have preference for city vendors. So some of the problems in servicing those portalettes has been the vendors out of the boroughs. So they're traveling up to the Shokan Rail Trail to take care of the portalettes there. So not servicing them to kind of the standards or running out of toilet paper or things like that. They would be happy to, I'm sure, have a more long-term solution rather than a vendor with portalettes. So, and then, we have seasonal parks, right, like Sojourner Truth, Ulster Landing, that have plumbed bathrooms, and again with the seasonally for the pool, the bathroom. So again, looking at the bigger kind of picture and where, how much effort to chase this down versus where it might be useful.
Well, Legislator Stewart serves on the Ulster County Trails Advisory Committee. And so maybe we can enlist him and the rest of the committee to do a little, just to create the spreadsheet of which parks and trails have what kind of facilities as a baseline and how many we'd be talking about. And maybe do a pilot study at one site instead of a feasibility study for the whole county. But I think we'll ask the legislator who brought this to us to pick it up and carry it from here as well. Any other thoughts about compost? And
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Is there a second? Second, multiple seconds. Legislator Donaldson. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Unanimous. Thank you. Thank you.